Well, one thing about Brother Matt, he's unpredictable, ain't he?
I'm just kidding. I understand how it is to be up here and conduct, and you're trying to do things your own way, but trying to keep the order that it's usually done in, and then half the time you forget how things go and everything because you get so nervous up here. But I do appreciate Matt conducting the service. Am I even on? I can't hear myself. Maybe I just need to talk louder, I reckon. All right, I'll talk louder. I get the look back there in the cubicle. If you would, turn to Nehemiah. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. I don't mean to preach on Brother Shepherd's territory, but he ain't in chapter 8 yet, but he'll be getting there. So I'm sure I won't do any damage to his ideas when he gets there. I just got a simple little thought here. I'm going to read one verse and then I'll pray and y'all can be seated. But I'm going to look at a few things right here and a few thoughts that the Lord give me. Well, I'll read two verses. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, if I can pronounce that word right there. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's where my thought comes from, the joy of the Lord. And that's what I want to look at. Just got a simple little thought there on the joy of the Lord. If you would, pray with me while I pray. Father, I am grateful and thankful for the privilege to be in your house, Lord. I'm thankful for the privilege to get up here and try to expound a few thoughts that you've given me, Lord. I don't deserve to be in this position, but you've called me into it, and I do pray that you'd please anoint me now and help me to say what you want me to say and refrain me from saying anything that would be a hindrance or an offense to the kingdom of God. Lord, I do pray that you would have your will and way in the service tonight, Lord. Honor your word. Have preeminence in the message. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So as I said, Brother Shepherd's been preaching out of Nehemiah, and he ain't made it to chapter 8 yet, but just to give you like a little introduction, chapter 8 there is when they start reading from the Word of God. They're reading the law. If you go back to verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." Now, that's not in my message, but I think it's interesting that he emphasized two times right there that was those that could hear and understand. That was the audience, those that could hear and understand. Now, that's who the Word of God is for, is those that can hear and understand. That's what the law of God is for, those that can hear and understand. You say, "What do you mean?" I say, these little ones in here, that they can hear it, but they can't understand it. It's for them in due time, but for those of us that can hear it and understand it, it's for us right now. That's not in the message, but I think it's interesting how the Word of God is worded right there. Those that could hear and understand the Word of God. is those that was being read to. That was the congregation, both men and women. Now, they stood up one third part of the day from morning to midday. That was it was 6 hours. It was a fourth part of the day. Did I read third, or my brain not working tonight? They stood up one fourth part of the day. I know that's right. I don't know where I'm getting third from, but anyway, I was thinking about when Brother Matt had everybody stand up a little longer than we normally do, and it was kind of like odd to us for a minute. Could you imagine them standing up 6 hours for one day? The whole time that Ezra's up there reading, we would about fall over if Brother Shepherd had us stand up here for 6 hours, and he preached to us for 6 hours, wouldn't he? But that's not my message, but that is interesting to think about. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. He ends verse 10 there. And this fell after all the reading of the law. They heard the law, and they were mourning, and they were weeping, because the law of God convicted them of how they were living. And the law of God, does it not do that when we read it? When it's read to us, it shows us where we're right or where we're wrong. Either way, whether we're right or wrong, it shows us when the law of God is being read, when the Word of God is being read. But Ezra and the Levites that taught the people, they told them, well, if you read in the next verse after verse 10, so the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understanding, they had understood the words that were declared unto them. So the Levites told them, don't be upset, don't be mourning, go your way and do what the Lord commanded you to do. That's what they were saying in short. I'm trying to get to my point instead of keep rambling on with the introduction. So the joy of the Lord, I was thinking about that. The joy of the Lord is your strength, what Nehemiah said there. So what is the joy of the Lord? There's a whole bunch of things that the joy of the Lord you could say. I just got a few things here. I got three things written down here, and then I got a fourth thing that I want to look at the end that's not got to do with the joy of the Lord, but it does have to do with the joy of the Lord, and I'll explain that in a minute. The joy of the Lord is God's salvation. That's the joy of the Lord. And I think right off the bat, I deal with that, is the joy of the Lord is God's salvation. Habakkuk 3:18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then Psalm 51 verse 12, this is in David's prayer, when his repenting prayer after he had sinned with Bathsheba and everything. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So I think just from them two verses alone, God's salvation, His salvation plan, is the joy of the Lord. I think about in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before Him was what He was fixing to go through for us, for humanity. That was God in the flesh fixing to go to the cross and give Himself for us. That was the joy that was set before Him. He prayed in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You just see His humanity in that. And he's like, if there's any other way, let it be. But it can't. There's no other way. It must be this way. And on the flip side of that, the joy that come out of that was souls being saved through Him giving Himself on the cross. So the joy of the Lord is God's salvation. We sang that, well, Miss Helen was singing that song, and she mentioned the 99. You know, the shepherd went out for the one. And that goes back to that passage that Brother Shepherd was in this morning, Luke 15, the lost sheep. And in that, with the lost sheep and then the lost coin, two times it talks about there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That's dealing with salvation. So the joy of the Lord is God's salvation. That's the first point. I hope I stressed that enough. My wife says I overstress things sometimes. I explain it too many times. But I think it's necessary. I want you to get the point that God's salvation is the joy of the Lord. And if you have His salvation, then you have the joy of the Lord. And as Nehemiah said here, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? So secondly, the joy of the Lord is God's presence. His presence. Psalm 16 is referring, it was prophetic with the Lord. It says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. If you wanted to turn over and look at that, I said it was in reference or prophetic to the Lord. If you look back in verse 10. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. That's in reference to the Lord. The Lord was crucified on the cross, and He suffered hell for us. He was down in the heart of the earth 3 days, in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, until He rose again. This is referring to the Lord then, when He basically suffered hell for us, took hell for us, took our place in hell so that we don't have to go there through His salvation. It says, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. And it's in reference to the Lord God. It's in reference to Him. In His presence is fullness of joy. So if you look at John 15, John chapter 15, I got just one verse copied and pasted right there, but I'm going to look at those 11 verses, the first 11 verses of John 15. I know Brother Matt just went through that in Sunday school. Well, I'll read John 15, 11, and then I'll back up. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. It's Jesus speaking. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the same joy that Jesus is talking about. He says, my joy might remain in you. All right. So back in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then the verse I started with, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now it could be said that these things that he's spoken could go back beyond chapter 15 into chapter 14, and I believe it can. But just looking at just that section, the first section of John 15, the emphasis is abiding in him, abiding in Christ. We would say keeping a good communication with the Lord, keeping good relation with him. Just like it's been said often that salvation is just like a marital relationship, really. Honestly, it is. It's a commitment. It's a submitment to one another. And you're growing together in a relationship. And you're cultivating that. And you're committed to it. So, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. So, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we want to keep that strength, we abide in Christ. We abide in his word. We keep a right relationship between us and him, right? You know, getting how I'm making application to this. I'm trying to stress that point to get it across. Abide in the word. Abide in him. Keep a right relationship with him. Scripture talks about don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, you know, neither give place to the devil. Brother Shepherd just hit on those verses not long ago. But keeping a right relationship and abiding in Christ and keeping that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and if we're going to be strong and keep that strength, when we have enmity between us and the Lord, we have something going, it's always going to be on our behalf. If there's anything wrong, it's going to be with us. The Lord can't be wrong in this relationship, right? We don't need to let the sun go down on our whatever's going on between us. That's what I was brought that verse into. We don't let the sun go down upon our wrath, neither give place to the devil in other matters. Well, in the matters of staying right with the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to let a day go by without getting those things right. That's the point I'm bringing out right there. The joy of the Lord is God's presence ever with us. In His presence is the fullness of joy. When we abide in Him and He abides in us and we have that sweet fellowship and that sweet communion, we have fullness of joy. And if we have fullness of joy, we have great strength. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we have great strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is that not what we're supposed to do? Sure. That's what we're supposed to do. And having done all, we're supposed to stand, Paul said. Number three, the joy of the Lord is walking in truth. Now, some of you already know a verse that I got for that. It's 3 John, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You say, well, that's John talking about the believers that he led to the Lord and that he's writing to and everything. Sure it is. But does not the Lord Jesus Christ have great joy when he hears that we're walking in his truth? Sure he does. It pleases him. And how I know that is Jesus, God in the flesh, always did those things which pleased the Father, right? And it brought the Father great joy. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's great joy. I didn't say this to begin with, so I'll just back up and say it again. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. Joy, you can have joy and not be happy. Happiness depends more on like what happens, the situation that's going on. It can be up and down. Happiness can be. But if you have joy, especially the joy of the Lord, you can be happy in any, or you can be joyful in any situation. I'd say joy leans more to the satisfaction side and glad and content, even though you may not be happy or you may not enjoy what's going on at the moment. You see what I'm saying? I hope you can see what I'm saying, because I think it makes perfect sense. Joy and happiness is two different things, though you can't have true happiness without having joy. But happiness will fluctuate depending on what happens. I lost my train of thought there. What was I dealing with? Walking in truth, yeah. So, Jesus always walked in truth. He did always those things which pleased the Father. You know, back when he was 12 years old, they found him down there at the temple. And he was, all the scribes and Pharisees was astonished with his questions and his answers. And then when Joseph and Mary went back, and they're all concerned about him, and they're like, "Wished ye not, you know, that we..." Or wait a minute, they didn't say that. They said, paraphrase their words, "Where you been? We've been looking for you. We're concerned about you." And he said, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" That brought great joy to his heavenly Father. We would say God the Father had great joy. He had no greater joy than to hear that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked in truth. The same thing applies to us. When we walk in truth, we abide in truth, it brings great joy. It would bring great joy to our father of the faith, like Paul was the father of Timothy concerning the faith. "My own son in the faith," he said. Well, when we walk in truth, it would bring great joy to... If Brother Hall was still alive, it'd bring great joy to Brother Hall. He would be a lot of us in here, fathers of the faith. But what about Brother Shepherd? It'd bring him great joy. I know it brings him great joy. It brings other believers great joy when we hear of others walking in truth. But above the believers and above the fathers of our faith, the pastors and stuff like that, bringing great joy to our Heavenly Father is the utmost important thing. If we're doing things right, we're going to bring great joy to all of them. You understand that? If we walk in truth. John said that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth. He was talking about his children of the faith there. And just like John had no greater joy than to hear his children walking in faith, the Lord has... Our Heavenly Father has no greater joy than here that we walk in truth. When we walk circumspectly, when we abide in Christ, and that walking in truth was mentioned in Brother Shepherd's message this morning. The elder son, he heard, he heard the word, and he's just like the scribes and Pharisees. He heard it, but he never put it into practice. It was all religious ritual, we would say that. Walking in truth is hearing the word of God and heeding the word of God. Not just being a hearer only, but an actual doer of the word of God. Because if you're not doing what the God is teaching and telling you to do, then you're not walking. You're just standing. You're just stationary in the truth. I mean, yeah, that's good to be in the truth, but God wants you to walk in the truth. He wants you to take heed to it. He wants you to obey it. He don't just want you to hear it. He wants you to heed it. James talks about that, being a doer of the word. He says being a doer of the work of the word, and not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. If you are a hearer only, your faith is vain. It's empty faith. If you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you never obey it and abide in it and do it, work it out. That's working out your own salvation so that others can see it's what that's about. It's not to be saved. It's so others will know you're saved. That would be walking in truth. Walking in truth. And Jude, the last two verses of Jude, says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." In verse 20, Jude 24 there, he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." When you walk in truth, when you abide in him, that's in his presence, and then you walk in the truth, you take heed unto the truth, and you do it, you apply it in your life, it's going to bring exceeding joy to him when he presents you faultless. He's the one that's able to keep you from falling, and he's going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, and it's going to bring him exceeding joy. That's what Jude's saying right there, with exceeding joy. He's going to present you faultless before his glory. We'd say there, he's going to present you up there. Here's this vessel that was under honor for all them years, because he walked in truth. He abided in Christ. He walked in truth. And it's going to bring exceeding joy to the Father when the Son presents us before the Father, before his glory. It's going to bring him exceeding joy at that time. So I said I wanted to twist on the end. I want to think about this on the flip side for just a second. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it is, could I not say, for a fourth and final point, our strength brings the Lord joy? You see that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But your strength is going to bring joy to the Lord. You see that? And it's not your strength within you. It's your strength in trusting in Him. Your strength in resting in Him. From salvation, the first point I mentioned, salvation, that's where it starts. You trusting in Him. You resting in Him. Resting in His Word, what He said. Getting, just falling in His arms. Falling on that stone. And then abiding in His presence. and then walking in His truth, that is your strength. And when you stand in that, it brings joy to the Lord. I hope everybody can see what I see in that. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it is, we could say our strength brings joy to the Lord. When He sees us standing, when He sees us... Well, you think about Job. Job, the devil came talking about Job there, and he's like, well, God brought Job up. Matter of fact, I'm saying that wrong. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He was like, he's strong. He's standing. Job's resting all in the joy of the Lord there. Have you considered him? And you know the whole story. Satan's like, yeah, but you got a hedge about him. Well, and the Lord's like, go for it. See if he don't, you know, paraphrasing the whole story there. Try him out. See if he stands. And his strength withstood because he was trusting in God. Now, it all come out in the end that he had a little self-righteousness about him, and he got all that right, and he prayed for his friends, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. But nevertheless, his strength brought joy to the Lord. If it hadn't, the Lord wouldn't have brought him up like that. Would we even be considered? Not saying that we want to be, okay? So don't misunderstand me. But would God even bother to bring our name up before Satan? Hey, try him out. I'm not saying I want him to do that. So don't misunderstand me, because I don't want to have to go through what Job went through. Not really. But it shows the integrity it shows the reputation that Job had. And God knew what kind of man Job was. And I believe Job stood strong in the Lord, in the joy of the Lord, and it brought joy to the Lord. So, just to conclude everything, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I hope I made sense tonight. I feel like I kind of took a text and departed from it, but that was my thought come from. The joy of the Lord is your strength there in Nehemiah. Brother Shepherd, when he gets there, he can straighten everything out that I messed up, if I messed anything up. But I think you can see those things. God's salvation is the joy of the Lord. And it's our strength. His salvation is our strength. The presence of God, His presence is the joy of the Lord. Being in His presence is the joy of the Lord. Abiding in His presence is the joy of the Lord. And it's our strength. Walking in His truth is the joy of the Lord. And it's our strength as well. And, like I ended there, it brings joy to Him. When we stand strong in what He's given us in His Word to do. So I encourage all of us in here to stand strong in the joy of the Lord. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Well, that was another good message. The preacher was right about that. And then go on the next couple days between now and Wednesday and forget what was said and not try to apply anything in our life. Let's rest in it and trust in it and take heed unto it. Like he was preaching this morning. You know, he hit the nail on the head in some areas. And don't just let it go in one ear, let it stop. I was having this conversation recently, I believe, wasn't I? I won't point no fingers. I'll just give some eyeballs. When you hear counsel, let it stop in between your ears. Don't let it go out the other side. Let it soak in. I won't pick no more. I'll leave off. All right. I hope that was a blessing and a help. And I hope I made sense. Brother Matt, if you would come and take the service how you see fit.
I'm going to go ahead and turn this thing off.